You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
That's right. You are Locked On Broncos. It is time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, a part of Scout Media. With me is my co-host, Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach, an NFL draft analyst, among many other football duties, I guess you could say. Luke, my friend, what's good? You ready to talk about the Pro Bowl?
Hey, that I am. Everybody's favorite professional-level game of dodgeball, right?
There you go. And hey, it's like Christmas. It's like, you know, Christmas week. It's like opening up a new present to find out which Broncos made the Pro Bowl, and we're going to get to that. But first, please understand that this show is not here to just report the news. Locked On Broncos is here to give you a more in-depth analytical look at your favorite team. So please be sure to tell your friends about the show. What really helps us out is by sharing the episodes on social media, whether it's your Facebook, you know, Twitter, Reddit. Help us grow this thing. We want to light the internet up, orange and blue, because we're committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on the Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week. Since we joined the network about a month ago, we haven't missed one weekday. And the truth is, Luke and I love doing this. We're just as sick and maniacal about Broncos football as you, our listeners, are. Now, please take a minute as well to follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. We really need each listener to take a quick second, find the at Locked On Broncos, and click the follow button. Very important to also helping us grow on the show. And, of course, the home of Locked On Broncos is Audio Boom, but make sure to subscribe on iTunes, and if you're an Android user, Stitcher as well, because the Broncos have just two games left on the schedule. Very important. It's not over yet, and you're not going to want to miss a single episode. Now, Luke, we're talking about the Pro Bowl today because on Tuesday night, the NFL announced the 2017 AFC and NFC Pro Bowl rosters, and the Denver Broncos had three players selected. Just to rattle them off real quick, you've got cornerback Chris Harris Jr., his third selection. Outside linebacker Von Miller, no surprise, fifth selection. And, of course, cornerback Aqib Talib, his fourth selection, making it basically each year Talib's been in Denver, he's been elected to the Pro Bowl. So these guys are going to play in the league's annual All-Star game. It's going to be Sunday, January 29th in Orlando, Florida. First thing, Luke, off the top of your head, the three guys that made it, give us your feedback.
Well, first of all, I've never watched a Pro Bowl, I don't think ever in my life. And I don't know that the dodgeball competition this year. Have you seen this? The NFL is going to be having a Pro Bowl. Part of their kind of week of festivities is going to be an NFL dodgeball competition.
Right. Sure to be compelling.
Right. Which then begs the question, who do you choose number one overall in the dodgeball draft?
Oh, yeah. And that is a good question.
Boy, that's almost a podcast in and of itself, isn't it?
There you go.
Man, I'm going to have to think about that one. But, you know, I don't know that I've ever watched a Pro Bowl ever to start. I don't think I'm going to start with this one. It's just a personal preference with the Pro Bowl. But that said, a week in Florida, man, you can't beat that. So congrats to Chris Harris Jr. Congrats to Aqib Talib and Von Miller. Obviously, all three very deserving players. When you talk about these three, these are really the three centerpieces of this defense. You know, it carried them to a Super Bowl last year. It's doing its best to carry them to another one this year. But these are really three standout defensive players, and all three vying to be that number one overall selection in the dodgeball draft.
There you go. And I'll tell you what, you know, when I was a young buck growing up in the 80s and 90s watching the Pro Bowl, I loved watching the Pro Bowl, and more often than not, it was compelling football. But as those contracts grew larger and the risks became greater, you've seen these players just kind of, you know, go through the half speed basically at the Pro Bowl. But still, at the very least, we know that for these guys, you know, a lot of time in their contracts, they have bonuses that are based around Pro Bowl selections. It's a great honor. You know, it goes on their list of accomplishments as professionals. So yeah, congratulations to these three guys. And I kind of want to go through it and just appreciate what these guys have not only meant to the Broncos as an organization, but just really what they've accomplished this year. And starting off with Chris Harris Jr., again, his third selection, and it's for the third consecutive season. Now, everyone remembers this was a kid that was undrafted. He did not hear his name called in 2011 out of Kansas, and he's actually one of only five undrafted cornerbacks in the history of professional football to make three or more Pro Bowls with his original team. And this year, Harris has started all 14 games for the Broncos. He's totaled 58 tackles, 53 of which are solo, two interceptions. He's defensed 11 passes. He's forced a fumble, and he's also recovered a fumble. Chris Harris Jr., I mean, he's underrated. I mean, it's great that he's getting Pro Bowl recognition now, but he remains, I think, an underrated guy and someone for the Broncos who factors in greatly to what they want to do on a week-in and week-out basis.
Jens, for so many years, we've really conceived at the cornerback position as this, you know, aloof shutdown corner who, so to speak, lives on his own island. Nobody challenges him. And, you know, his job is to shut down the one wide receiver man on man. And, you know, Chris Harris Jr. can do that. But he's also top 10 among cornerbacks in tackles.
Yep.
You know, he's had 58 tackles this year. So, you know, he comes up. He gets his nose dirty, as they say. He gets his nose into the mix, makes tackles, makes stops against the run. He's really kind of transforming into this, what we kind of conceive of now as this new brand of NFL corner, which, you know, they have the speed, the athleticism to run stride for stride down the field with the speedsters of the league. They can be physical when it's demanded of them, but most importantly, they can tackle in space. The NFL is trending towards, we see the bubble screens, the kind of speed counter plays.
These are
designed to get guys free in space and force the defensive backs to tackle one-on-one in the open field. And for a guy to rack up 58 tackles in, you know, 14 games of a season and do that consistently, that's really impressive. And for a cornerback to do that, you know, kudos to Chris Harris Jr. Very much, you know, he's earned his spot in the Pro Bowl, and he will very much deserve that week in the sun.
Just amazing to think that all 32 teams passed on him, including the Broncos. The Broncos didn't see him worthy of a draft pick. And yeah, you know, you can at least say that Elway had the savvy to say, you know, we're going to sign him as a priority college free agent. But this guy plays with an enormous chip on his shoulder, and we see that play out on the gridiron every week. Now, Von Miller, hey, this is a guy coming off being the Super Bowl 50 MVP. It's his third straight year of being a Pro Bowler. Basically, every year since he tore his ACL and had that suspension-plagued 2013 campaign, he's been in the Pro Bowl. And it's his fourth time as a Bronco, or excuse me, the fourth Broncos linebacker to be selected to at least five Pro Bowls. And I think that's interesting as well because he joined Steve Atwater and, of course, the great Champ Bailey as the only players in Broncos history to make five Pro Bowls in their first 6 years with the team. And I think Champ Bailey's a guy who's eventually going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Steve Atwater, he's been a finalist last year. You know, you can only hope that that's going to happen, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame seems to have something against true safeties. But back to Von Miller. In 14 starts this season, Von Miller, of course, leads the team, and he's currently ranked second in the NFL with 13.5 sacks. To go along with 65 total tackles, 52 of which are solo. He's defensed three passes. He's forced two fumbles. This is a guy that we've seen, I think, you know, coming off of that huge postseason last year. He's really raised his level, especially with DeMarcus Ware kind of falling off. He's not quite had as a consistent of a pass rushing partner this year. I mean, yes, Shane Ray, he's played well in spots this year. He's got seven sacks of his own, but Von Miller has really had to be the guy this year. And Luke, I think he's come through for his team.
Yeah, and has there been any player in the league over the last few seasons who's really rehabbed their image as much as Von Miller? I mean, a couple of years ago, we're talking about a guy who's gotten suspended for drug tests, for, you know, diluted urine tests.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people were starting to question, is he going to be in the league? Is he going to be able to make it through these suspensions? games, but credit to him. He's spoken at length about how much having DeMarcus Ware on this team has really boosted him and his development as a person. And now we see him, he's concentrated, he's focused on this game, and he's, you know, the results are coming in. You know, he's one of the best pass rushers in this game. And to me, the thing about Von Miller that never fails to drop my jaw is you look back at the Super Bowl this past season. There's that one play where he ends up out in the slot over Jericho Cotri, wide receiver, mind you.
Yep.
And he's running stride for stride with him, step for step down the sideline on a wheel route, and he knocks that ball out. This guy is not just a pass rusher, folks. This guy can play down the field. He's shown that ability sometimes in coverage. He's an athletic freak. He might just be this year's defensive player of the year.
And that's what I was going to say is, you know, if you look across the league and I can't really think of anyone just off the top of my head who's been more impactful and been and determined the fate of his team as a defensive player more than Von Miller. Now, the next guy, of course, Aqib Talib, and I'll be honest, this is a guy who, you know, 6 months ago, well, actually a little bit further back in March when free agency opened, this was a guy that I wasn't sure the Broncos should bring back just with, you know, cap constraints based on what Bradley Roby was doing. And then, of course, he had the episode of shooting himself in the leg and all that. But later on in the summer. But I can say with absolute authority at this moment that Aqib Talib is worth every penny to this team. And we can only hope that he manages to stay out of trouble off the field so that he can continue to light things up for the Broncos. I mean, this is a guy they signed in 2014. He's been a Pro Bowler for the third straight year. Each season he's been with Denver. And it's actually the fourth straight year because he made the Pro Bowl as a New England Patriot in 2013. And he actually joins Patrick Peterson of the Arizona Cardinals and Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks as the only three corners to make the Pro Bowl in each of the last four seasons. And this year, you know, he missed three starts due to that lower back injury. But he does lead the team with three interceptions, one of which he returned for a touchdown. 12 passes defensed, 35 tackles, 27 of which solo. You know, this is a guy that in seasons past, as great as he's been, there's always been those few games, those few lapses where maybe he gives up a long touchdown because of how aggressive he is and all that. Or I can think even back to week 15 last year. Week 16 against Cincinnati at home, he gave up that corner touchdown in the red zone to AJ Green. And, you know, those are going to happen sometimes in the NFL. Guys are going to get beat. But, Luke, I can't think of a single time this year where Talib's been beaten on a touchdown off the top of my head. And I could be wrong. You know, the fact checkers out there, go ahead and come at me. But, Luke, the fact remains, Aqib Talib has been phenomenal this year.
That was very Talib-like of you to welcome the haters there.
Come at me, bro.
Ice up, son. So, you know, I think there's no doubt in anybody's mind at this point that Talib is a top echelon cornerback in the NFL and that the Broncos are incredibly lucky to have him. Really, the only knock that you can make on Talib this year is that he does tend to make just boneheaded decisions off the field. But you can't to be fair, and on the field with the one game suspension last season for the eye poking incident. But, you know, he is a top level corner in the NFL. My only question is, can he keep his attitude? Can he keep his mouthing and his chatter comments to himself? I love that in a cornerback, but there's a time when it crosses the line and, you know, Aqib Talib just has to kind of rein that in a bit. But man, is there any question, you know, when he's on, is there any better cover corner in this league? I am not sure.
Yep. The Broncos really are. I mean, they got a lot of money invested in Harris and Talib, and it's paid off for them. You know, they've got the double whammy of elite edge rushing on the quarterback, and then when those guys force these quarterbacks into hurried throws and bad decisions, you've got two of the best cover artists in the game to make them pay. So congrats to those three guys. We're going to also talk about the six Bronco alternates for the Pro Bowl this year, and maybe, you know, who was snubbed, who should have been selected to the Pro Bowl. Before we do, though, I want to talk about SeatGeek, because we're heading into, of course, week 16 of the NFL football season. The Broncos, they're facing a couple of must-win games to even have a shot at the postseason. Whether they make it or not, SeatGeek is the easiest way to find tickets for these last couple games of the season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest games of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for great value. Now, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and honestly, it's the easiest way I've found by far to find and buy tickets. And I can be anywhere with just a few taps. I can instantly find the seats I need for this weekend or any game this season. It's not just NFL, NBA, college, MLB, hockey, you name it. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because they go out and price compare for you. They search multiple ticket sites and make sure you get the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, which is why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. And you'll immediately see the underpriced seats, find the best deals that are going to fit your budget, especially this time of year when the wallet gets tight over the holidays. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek, and this is important, is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets with absolute confidence. And best of all, Locked On Broncos listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how you get that. First off, go download the SeatGeek app, then go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, then enter promo code LO Broncos, and then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. So go download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LO Broncos today. Now, Luke, in addition to Denver's three Pro Bowl selections, they also have a few Pro Bowl alternates, and here's how that goes. Six guys. First up is center Matt Paradis, wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, and also Demaryius Thomas. Safety, Darian Stewart and his compadre T.J. Ward. And then last, but certainly not least, defensive end Derek Wolfe. You know, you look at these six names here as the alternates. And really what I want to get into right off the bat here, Luke, is the snubs. And I want to serve this up to you because I think if we're being honest here, the first thing we got to talk about is Matt Paradis. I mean, this is a guy, Luke, who's, he's been mired on a terrible offensive line. He's been the only shining star on that unit, and that's probably what's dragged him down, to be honest with you, to an alternate status. But this is a guy who has consistently throughout the 2016 season led the way. The metric sites, you got Pro Football Focus having him as the highest rated center throughout most of this season. He's been a force in the run game in the few times that, you know, here and there when Denver has been able to be successful. He's held his own in pass pro. He's a leader. You know, he's the quarterback of the offensive line. And frankly, with that type of a season under his belt, I just can't understand how this guy did not make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, well, the number one and two centers to have made the Pro Bowl were for the AFC were Rodney Hudson and Marquise Pouncey. Pouncey is one of those guys who's always top five in the NFL, so he's always up there, and Rodney Hudson is always top three. That said, man, the season that Matt Paradis has had has been very, very good. To my mind, I actually do see him as the alternate. I think if he's in the NFC, where you have guys at that center position like Travis Frederick and Alex Mack, he'd be in the same exact boat. These are four very talented centers we're talking about who made the Pro Bowl. And I think that Paradis belongs in that first alternate position. To me, I'm actually very surprised that Darian Stewart didn't make it as a first teamer. The safeties who made that for the AFC is Devin McCourty, Reggie Nelson for the Raiders, and Eric Berry for the Chiefs.
That's BS.
Yeah, I won't argue with Nelson. I won't argue with Barry, but is it just me or has McCourty not been having as good of a season really as he could be having? I mean, I feel like this is obviously a season that has seen the Patriots to kind of achieve beyond their expectations, I'd say, coming into it. But, you know, he's had just one interception, no other turnovers. And while he has a high number of tackles, man, Darian Stewart has been an impact player. We saw him absolutely take over the game against the Saints. This is a guy that he's been in the league a while, and I really feel like he kind of missed out on the Pro Bowl here.
I would agree with you. And just real quick, just to back up for a second on Matt Paradis. See, I can understand the argument and what you're saying about him being the first, deserving to be the first alternate. But I mean, and I haven't watched every game Pouncey's played. I'll be honest there, but I just find it hard to believe he's had a better season than Matt Paradis. I think that's your classic name recognition thing on the ballot, going there against Matt Paradis. And if this were, you know, one of those seasons where they weren't drafted, what was it? This year it's AFC and NFC again, right? So the last couple years where it was mixed up and it wasn't necessarily two from each conference or whatever, there's a good chance I think Paradis would have been one of those guys. But yeah, I could give it to Rodney Hudson, saying he's very well deserving. He's been excellent. That dude is a beast, but I think Matt Paradis should be there with him. On Darian Stewart, oh man. I mean, I don't want to be the classic guy covering the Broncos that's going to cry about every guy that didn't make the Pro Bowl, but Darian Stewart is very deserving. I mean, this is another former undrafted guy, kind of bounced around the league a little bit out of South Carolina, found a home here in Denver. John Elway signed him on a relatively cheap two-year deal, and then, of course, he outkicked his coverage, so to speak, got the big extension in season, which typically Elway is not wont to do, and he's backed it up. I mean, he's been by far a better safety, I think, than TJ Ward. He's made bigger impact plays. He's been more consistent. And as you bring up, Luke, that game against the New Orleans Saints, I mean, he was the reason that they pulled out the victory there. But what about Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders? I mean, these are guys, I mean, they're basically having 1,000-yard seasons again. What do you think about them? I mean, honestly, straight-up analysis, not being among the top guys to make the Pro Bowl.
Well, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. With an offense like Denver has had this year, do we really expect more than one guy to make it from this offense? And are we shocked that there's zero? Me, personally, I'm not. That said, I mean, this is a deep, deep year for the wide receiver position in the AFC. And it weirdly tapers off. You had Antonio Brown, obviously, Amari Cooper for the Raiders, A.J. Green for the Bengals, and then T.Y. Hilton for the Colts. Now, I think Michael Crabtree has a fantastic argument for the Raiders that he should be in that list, and I would have put him in there on that list. But, man, T.Y. Hilton, once you get into that level, that kind of tier, you start thinking about Emmanuel Sanders, you start thinking about Demaryius Thomas. I know that they've had struggles with consistency and drops, but they're kind of pushing their way into that conversation, aren't they? I mean, these are guys who have made, I believe, both have made the Pro Bowl before. They'll probably make it before it's said and done with players dropping out of the Pro Bowl. But
yeah,
that T.Y. Hilton.
I think Sanders in particular is deserving. I mean, Demaryius Thomas, I wouldn't even necessarily stand up on a soapbox and try and argue for him even being an alternate. I mean, he's got the yardage, but he's not been consistent. Sanders was having a phenomenal season, even with questionable QB play and an inexperienced guy under center. The last couple, you know, he went into, what was it, week 14, I believe, without a drop. He was having a fantastic season. And so that one's a shock. But, you know, the more I chew on this, Luke, and I look at these list of names, the Pro Bowl alternates and the guys that did not make the actual cut, the more Derek Wolfe not getting the nod is kind of sticking on in my craw a little bit, because, you know, he's never made the Pro Bowl. Let's first address that. Broncos drafted him in the second round. He was actually their first pick in 2012. You know, he was immediate starter right out of the gates for Denver. He's not like Adam Gotsis, for example, that's slowly being nurtured and rotated in and taking their time developing him. Derek Wolfe was leaned on immediately to be a starter and an impact player, and as a rookie, formed a leadership role on that defense. And, you know, playing in a 4-3 as a defensive end under Jack Del Rio for those first couple of years, you know, it was kind of hit and miss for Wolf. He was still very good as a run defender. But when Wade Phillips and Bill Kolar came last year, I mean, we saw him finally blossom as one of the NFL's top five-tech defensive end in that 3-4, you know, attacking single-gap system. This year, I would argue he's played even better. Now, granted, he got banged up last week, and he has fought a neck injury this year. But I think he's actually been, Luke, and without his compadre Malik Jackson on the other end to help take some of that attention, I would argue that he's had an even better season in 2016, and it really does this one's up there with me for Matt Paradis and Stewart. I just can't understand how Derek Wolfe missed out, other than, you know, the fact that you're going to look at the Pro Bowl numbers, you're going to look at the 4-3 defensive ends that are rushing the passer. You know, Derek Wolfe does that too, but he's more of an interior player, so that kind of changes the perception. And of course, Luke affects the stat line.
Right, and if you look at the other selections at the defensive end, you have Cameron Wake, 4-3 rush end, Jadeveon Clowney, kind of 4-3 rush end. They don't really, they play a 3-4 in name only. It's kind of more of a hybrid. And then you have whatever Khalil Mack is, animal, beast, monster. So that is kind of a position that, at that defensive end, that they're not really recognizing of guys like Derek Wolfe. And quite honestly, my sentiment really is with this kind of case that injury that he did have earlier this year that held him out for a month, it hurt him. We didn't see that hurt Tlaib's chances at the Pro Bowl, but this, I really feel like this is a position where he just doesn't have the name recognition. And even though he's absolutely deserving of that honor, he just didn't have enough time on field this season for him to get that nod.
I think there's also an argument. I think name recognition is possibly something to be considered there, but he is a guy that was a key piece on the world champion defense, arguably one of the best ever in the history of the NFL. One of the issues I think, Luke, that might affect that is, from what I'm told, Derek Wolfe is not well loved in the NFL amongst his opponents and fellow NFL players. They're, you know, he's respected because what he how he produces, but this is a guy that's he's a mean-spirited dude on the field. He gets after it. You know, he's telling quarterbacks he's going to eat their children. He gets lippy in the media, talking about hating Tom Brady and, you know, all these type of things. And that probably doesn't serve him too well in that regard either.
No, I mean, everybody likes a bad boy for headlines, but they don't like it when it comes down to the other sideline. Am I surprised that he kind of has that reputation? Not really. I mean, this is a guy who just makes inanimate noises and just kind of shrieks when he makes a sack. What more can you say?
There you go. Well, hey, congratulations to the three Broncos, Chris Harris, Von Miller, Aqib Talib, who did make the Pro Bowl this year. And by the time it's all said and done, there will probably be one or two other guys that sneak in with injuries or guys playing in the Super Bowl. But here's one last stat before we get out of here I want to throw out there. All three of Denver's Pro Bowl selections were either drafted, of course, or signed by John Elway over the last 5 years. And all three players have combined for 11 Pro Bowl selections since joining the Broncos. And that's a testament to Elway as a guy, you know, as a draft evaluator, as a talent evaluator, as a closer, you know, when it comes to these free agent deals. John Elway is getting it done for this Broncos front office.
I mean, at this point, John Elway has to have office access to that coffee pot, right? Coffee's for closers.
Coffee's for closers, that's right. And Luke, I can't tell you how much respect that you just went up a couple notches dropping some Glengarry Glen Ross. Brother, we're sharing a brain. But hey, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Thanks again for checking out the show. Make sure you find us on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Again, you can also find Luke in the Twitterverse, at Luke Polglaze, myself, at Chad N. Jensen. We do want to hear from you. Hit us up. You know, feel free to send us questions, concerns, sound off. Check out the other podcasts on the network. You're going to want to check out Locked On Chiefs, of course, this week. And as we're getting closer to the end of the season, you want to start looking ahead. Now's the time to also check out Locked On Draft. We'll have some good stuff cooking for tomorrow's episode, so stay tuned for that. Don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle. Huddle.